According to our next guest, men and women 150 years ago grappled with information overload by making scrapbooks, the ancestors of Google and blogging. From Abraham Lincoln to Susan B. Anthony, African-American janitors to farm women, abolitionists to Confederates, people cut out and pasted down their reading. Writing with scissors opens a new window into the feelings and thoughts of ordinary and extraordinary Americans. Like us, 19th century readers spoke back to the media and treasured what mattered to them. Ellen Gruber Garvey writes about how scrapbook makers documented their feelings about momentous public events. Ellen Gruber Garvey is professor of English at the New Jersey City University and the author of the award-winning The Ad Man in the Parlor, Magazines and the Gendering of Consumer Culture. Ellen, welcome to the roundtable. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Ray.
So,
good to be here.
What on earth inspired you to delve into this most interesting subject?
Well, a couple of different things. One, I had been a journalist years ago with Liberation News Service, and we worked with non-mainstream media, and I thought about what is it that, you know, how is it that people who are left out of the mainstream get to express themselves? These are people often who didn't have access to actually publishing their thoughts, and yet they found ways of expressing themselves. And secondly, I can tell you the story of how I saw my first scrapbook like this, the first newspaper clipping scrapbook. I was in a used bookstore in New Salem, Massachusetts, the Common Reader, and Doris Abramson, who was a retired English professor, handed me this amazing scrapbook. I'd never seen anything like it. It was a book of Puritan sermons and it had been covered over with newspaper clippings. And the first clipping in it was a feminist story from the 1880s in which a woman essentially takes over a barn to better house her family. Mm-hmm. So I thought, wow, here's this story about someone taking over space to make a more congenial home for her feeling, for her family and for her own development. And this is a story that's pasted into a very non-congenial space, and it covers it over, a book of Puritan sermons. So then I started looking around, and I found lots more of these kinds of books where people had very often not actually gone and bought a fancy blank book, but rather had taken old ledgers or old textbooks or other books of sermons or even the Bible and covered them over with clippings.
How many of these are still around?
Oh, thousands. Often you find them in historical societies, libraries, other kinds of repositories. They circulate I've seen them for sale on eBay, but those are kind of hard to work with because you don't really know anything about who made them. But it was a tremendously popular activity in the 19th century. It was a way that people stored and saved all the incredible information that they saw going by in the cheap print press. I mean, suddenly newspapers were very cheap, starting in early mid-19th century, and people had the sense it was all this wonderful information, but how were they going to save it? Were they just going to have giant stacks of newspapers in their house? Well, that wasn't going to work so well, especially since newspapers didn't have indexes yet. And they're sort of like us. I mean, they're flooded with all of this writing and just stuff, and they feel like it's valuable, but, you know, how do you find it again? How do you make that breadcrumb trail back to what you want to read again? And scrapbooks were a kind of up-and-coming, high-tech way of dealing with that. You made a little portable reading device that you could carry around that had your favorite poems or stories in it, or news articles that meant a lot to you.
So in a way, it's very similar to a tablet reader today or a blog or something like that.
Yeah, in the sense that you made it more accessible and portable. So in that sense, it's like a tablet. It doesn't continue to, you know,
update,
generate more content. You have to put it in there, obviously. But in that sense, it's actually better for researchers because it's stable. We actually can keep seeing that. You know, somebody can wipe a website and we won't find it again. But this is there forever. And it's like a blog in that it was a way for people to recirculate material and to point it out to other people and to send it around again so that sometimes it got reprinted in other newspapers after that. And it was a way for people to share that with their friends.
Ellen Gruber Garvey's new book is Writing with Scissors. The book is published by Oxford University Press. What insights into, let's say, the Civil War era were you able to get from looking at some of these scrapbooks?
Well, that is that's kind of a watershed moment in scrapbook making. Many people started reading the newspaper during the Civil War. They were avid to know what was going on with their friends and family on the battlefield or in other areas. And so they were just, you know, and also it was the first time that telegraph news had been widely used in a war, so that there was actual news in the newspaper. So people had this new engagement with newspaper, this passionate engagement with the press, and their experience of the war, even if they were in a contested area, even if they were, you know, had much more direct contact with the war, was still partly through media. So they had a relationship with media. If you want to think about how people, after 9/11, so many people saved the newspaper, or after Obama's first election, people saved that first page. It was a historic moment, and they knew it partly through the newspaper, more for 9/11 in that case, but that sense of this is what I'm saving, my record of my being with this newspaper. And so they made scrapbooks from the newspapers as they read them, and sometimes that was a way of making a kind of ideal newspaper, a newspaper that saved the news of the battles in which their side was victorious, not the battles they didn't want to hear about. So one scrapbook I looked at saved the same battle, or it's a Confederate scrapbook, same battle over and over again. Other scrapbooks are ways of, in the Civil War, where people saved poetry that was in the paper, especially if they were mourning someone, then those poems about the losses of soldiers or other losses touched them tremendously. And men and women did this. I saw an amazing scrapbook at the Massachusetts Historical Society, Henry Ingersoll Bowditch, who was an abolitionist doctor whose son died in the war. And after that, he started culling the paper for poetry that moved him. And he made an enormous scrapbook, saving that record of feeling. And he saved all the clippings, but he didn't make the scrapbook for another 10 or 14 years. So that was another way of saving his relationship to his son through the emotions he felt at the son's loss. And he was particularly articulate about that, but others did the same thing without spelling it out.
One of the very interesting aspects of this book is that it shows a glimpse into sort of underreported cultural angles from the old days. In other words, African-American scrapbookers, you don't see a lot written about the culture from an inside perspective, and these scrapbooks open a window.
Absolutely. Yeah, there were quite a number of very avid African-American scrapbook makers in the late 19th century. One man in Philadelphia made about 400 scrapbooks, mostly on African-American life. He saved what he saw mostly in the white press, because the daily press was white. There were black newspapers, but they were weeklies or monthlies. And basically it was a way of, you know, pulling these little precious bits from an often hostile press. But for him it was a way of seeing where black people, anything about black people or relevant to black people, was. And then he classified them into different topics. And one scrapbook that's just amazing is a book that he called Colored Centenarians. And there, over the course of 40 years, four decades, he saved every notice he found of a black person who had died or lived past the age of 100. So they were, some of them were obituaries, some of them were feature articles, and they were a way of saving African-American history and its connection often to the founding of the country, because these were people who had lived in the 18th century for the most part, entirely, I mean, obviously. So they were people who were, you know, alive during the Revolution in some cases, and they were a way of saying black people really own the country, are really integral to American history. So that was a really amazing vision to see what he was doing. And it's a very thoughtful and worked out scrapbook with almost nothing written in it. It's all writing with scissors. It's all writing with other articles, sometimes not very friendly articles. Sometimes they're insulting to black people, but they're still putting them together, makes them speak to each other, and makes it a really extraordinary record that he managed to create.
It is such an interesting book, and I hope that there's enough material out there for you to do a follow-up. Ellen Gruber Garvey's new book is Writing with Scissors. The book is published by Oxford University Press. Ellen, thanks for being with us on the Roundtable.
Thank you so much, Ray.